Welcome to House Plans. How are you guys doing over there?
We already did the show.
That was a good conversation, really.
It was a good conversation.
Yeah. Those 8 minutes before the show, we should just air those like it's on gold. FaceTime Live.
Well,
we'd
have to edit a little bit.
No. If we did on like FaceTime Live or something, it would not be. It wouldn't be.
Take the names out to protect the innocent.
Oh, I texted Chris last night and said, y'all going to have to carry the water this morning.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
What do they call that in college? I know it's bar hopping, but there's another word for it, too.
Oh, progressive or something.
Yeah, progressives.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Went on a progressive margarita party.
You know,
they
used to give you those, this is going to sound terrible. back when we were in college, the political correctness was nobody cared about all that, right? I remember they used to.
You could say and
did
do
they
anything.
Even have political correctness?
I know. I'm not even sure there was any political or correctness. Remember they used to give you those cards.
You didn't even have indoor heating and air.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine going to school and not having
in Charleston?
Yes, in Charleston and not having air conditioning.
Here's your fan and screen door. Have a good time.
Yes.
And a wool suit to wear.
About eight memories just flooded into my brain right there that I'd rather not talk about.
He's talking about political correctness. He didn't even have air conditioning.
Yes. I remember they used to give you these cards that had like the name of like 20 bars on them.
Right.
And you had to go to each bar, and have a drink or
they
whatever
did that
it was.
At the Citadel.
While driving. Somebody was driving. Okay? I mean, you want to talk about a recipe for disaster.
Well, I just did a little square there on South Main Street. I hit the hot spots.
How was it?
Well, Foxcroft was fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised. My first run at Foxcroft. It's right across
from
Rick's.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a place. I thought you went to somebody's house in Foxcroft neighborhood.
It's right across from Rick's.
I told JD this morning when Keith was talking about Keith had an inside the park home run.
That's true.
All the bases.
Yes.
And he still made it to work.
And I made it to work.
The four corners.
So we started at Foxcroft. We went to Rick's. Rick was there, by the way. He wanted to know where Chris was.
I was at home on the couch.
I'm at Hall's getting good service.
And then we went to Gianna's. I love Gianna's.
Yeah,
and I love Carl. And then we went to Hall's. But Hall's, you can't beat Hall's candy.
You can't do it.
They are unbelievable.
I haven't been to Foxcroft yet, but any of those three places you name is kind of hard to beat.
Hall's,
yeah.
We need
well,
a
you
Hall's
should try
Eastside.
Foxcroft, though. You would like it, Chris.
We need a Hall's East Side. That's what we
need. I'll give it a go.
Yeah, can you just walk? You pick your wine out, and it's only the retail price if it's above $30.
Oh, I like that
no
part.
No corkage fee, nice wine. We
had
a nice bottle.
I rolled down to Northampton for that.
Well, that's where we intended on going.
Oh, okay.
That was funny.
Ran out of time.
Mary said, we said, let's go downtown. So let's go to Northampton, which is our favorite
spot. That's your go-to,
And then Mary said, why don't we try Foxcroft? I said, okay.
Give it a go.
You got to try it. You'll like it.
I don't go downtown enough. I never even heard of Foxcroft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
they have two places.
Called Uber.
I know. Well, my car is not dark in the door downtown. Well, I've been to a few closings down there.
Anyway, I got to know them pretty well last night.
Good. I'm proud of you, Keith.
Customer of the month. It's only.
I bet your back wasn't hurt.
Only January 4th.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Only January 4th, and Keith has established customer of the month at Father Christ.
That's right.
Well, Bennett's in Mexico for a few days.
Oh,
all
well, there
right.
you go.
So we're going
to talk about
cut
living
up.
The life.
Yeah.
There you go.
He might be having one of those cards going around.
Yeah, don't say that.
We had a, I know we didn't have a show last week. 2 weeks ago, we had a show. We did we did our predictions.
Oh, Chris. Okay. Well, I missed that.
Yeah, we did our predictions. You weren't listening? I mean, what in the world?
Are you kidding?
We did our predictions.
I was out of range, and my phone was dead.
Yeah, that's right. We are convinced that we're thinking like a 2% increase is what we're thinking year over year. So it'll be very interesting to see if our prediction comes true. But after doing all the analytics and everything, me and Keith are in agreement this year.
Yep.
It's probably about a 2% increase year over year is what our prediction is for 2019.
2% increase.
Yep.
And I'm writing that down because I can't, I'm always the contrarian.
Well, I'll be, I'll
2%
say.
Increase. So you're talking about year over year in number.
Yep.
2%. Okay. I'm not sure that I'm on that boat.
You think we're going to be down a little bit?
I think we're going to be down a little
bit. First year down.
Based on what happened in December.
Yeah.
December was slow. Do you got any forecast for December?
Well, we'll be up 5 or 6%.
Really?
There's a lot of deals that should have closed in December.
Yeah.
That could be true.
Yeah. So maybe it's just us.
I can think of a few.
All right. Well, listen, I know that was chaos, but we're going to go to the first break of the day. And when we get back, we're actually going to talk a little real estate. Got some good news on rates. Got some good news on loan sizes.
Yes.
Got some good news on fast, easy approvals. And so we're also going to be taking your calls and comments. We already got a text question. The text line is 71307. That's 71307. Or you can give us a shout at 866-442-7553. And we promise not to all talk at the same time in the next segment. We'll be right back after this. Can you read that?
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. First show of 2019, the 16th year of House Plans.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's unbelievable.
How about them apples?
Yeah, what do y'all do with all the money they pay y'all for doing that?
Been stashing it.
I've been saving it.
Stashing it.
Every now and then we get a little cocky and I say, let's remember who's paying who here.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. We pay them to be on.
We might be the senior radio host at Intercom.
Yeah, we might
not, but not. I mean, we're just bad enough, but not good enough. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, Chris, I think we got a text question
we do,
over there, and I'm 49 and going on 50, so I can't read.
You can't read that?
I can probably read it.
Take your contacts
bit.
Out. Yeah. Okay, so the question is that he had texter had to take a little time off to deal with a personal issue, and now the bank doesn't want to lend money for a home loan because they were not employed for a certain period of time. Is this practice going to be with all lenders or just my bank? Credit score is 800.
Well, as in all mortgage situations, I'll give you the short answer of it depends. Typically when you can be unemployed, but you need to let me say that you can't be unemployed.
Well, first thing is, we refer to it as a gap in employment.
Right, that's right.
And then dependent upon what type of loan you're trying to get determines whether or not that gap in employment matters.
Matters, that's correct. If you're talking about a conventional loan, you can actually close on a loan and not have started a job yet. Now, you would need a non-contingent letter of employment,
right?
In some situations, and need to start your job immediately following closing. And the immediately following is defined different ways by Fannie, Freddie, particular investors, and that sort of thing.
Also depends on the timing of the gap.
That's correct.
Less than 30 days, less than 60 days, or over 90 days will have an impact on underwriting and how they have to look at it. Loan to value will matter. Assets
how you're getting
after.
Paid? Are you W-2 salaried?
Yes.
Are you commissioned? Are you bonus? Is it
yes.
business for self? Whatever.
So what I would recommend is that you give JD a shout 331-4663. That's 331 home, or shoot him an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and we'll just work through the entire individual situation. I will say this too. If you're in a situation that makes sense that will not fit into a Govy box or will not fit into a conforming box, one of the things that JD has access to in his toolbox is a portfolio loan.
Yeah, that's right. And what we can do in some of those situations is, if the term's right or the loan to value's right or both, credit score sounds like it's really good. A lot of times we can do, we call it a one-off kind of deal, where it doesn't meet the specific requirements that a conventional loan may require, but a lot of times we can do some short term financing to satisfy your problem and then work on some other solutions.
That's
down
amazing.
The road, so
you guys can do it all, really.
Well, I can tell you a couple of examples that we've done lately. Is we had a set of borrowers that young first time homebuyers. Not a lot of money to put into the deal, and they both had short-term commission jobs,
right?
Which Fannie, Freddie, and FHA, the
Govies,
they won't go down that road because of the commission. And so the dad was willing to reach out and help, and he said, look, I don't want to put up any cash, but I'll let you put a lien on my house. And, of course, you can't do that conforming because you can't take two separate properties and all this, but on the portfolio side, you can do that. And then another one that just came up last week was we had a gentleman that was buying a house down in the Simpsonville area. House had been empty 2 years because the family was trying to decide how are they – the owner had passed, the house passed to the family. Family trying to decide, okay, what do we do from here? And finally they said, look, we got to sell it. And, you know, in the appraisal, there's a bucket in several places catching water.
Right.
So – that's not going to go.
Fly.
That's not going to fly.
Yeah.
It's just not going to go.
Yeah. That's some good news and some bad news.
Yeah. The one of the wood floors in one of the rooms looked like a skate park. Right. You know, I mean, it had lumps in it, and you know, and so that is another perfect situation where the only opportunity you have there is to go portfolio or cash. And in this particular situation, portfolio is the way to go because now you can renovate the house, bring it up to Fannie and Freddie standards, and you know, lay it all out. We've also seen deals where people like, you know, I want to get 100% on the loan, but I'm willing to add some cash collateral to the loan. So, you know, let me buy a $200,000 house, get a 150 loan, and get a $50,000 cash, you know, put up. And when I get done with it, it's going to be worth $250,
yeah.
And I'll roll out and get my cash back. So we're allowed to be a lot more creative, and I know, JD, you've had many success stories as it relates to being able to do portfolio loans, which is something that a community bank and county bank can do.
Well, one of the things, you know, me and Chris, you know, sort of pride ourselves in, or maybe we shouldn't, is you know, when we first got into the lending business, we used to do a lot of what I call quote-unquote make sense lending.
Right.
You know, and it was, you know, if the deal made sense, we will put it together in some way that's beneficial for us and the customer, you know, and try to work through that. And we actually enjoy, or at least I still do, you know, getting a little bit of a Rubik's Cube and,
right.
and trying to, you know, put that deal together and that kind of thing. And, you know, we do a lot of what I call vanilla ice cream, where it's just, you know, straightforward deals. But sometimes getting the rocky road is fun as
sure.
well, you know. So.
Well, and like you say, you know, the thing that piqued my interest here is you got a high credit score. I would imagine you got a solid job now.
Right.
You just have that gap. So you're going to have to explain the gap. And it may not go Fannie, Freddie, or FHA, but, you know, you may be able to figure out a way to do a portfolio, either long-term or short-term. And then one of the other, you know, offers that we have is JD had one this week where the gentleman said, listen, I don't want to be sold into the secondary market. I really want to make my payment to county bank. I want it to be a local bank, but I still want a competitive rate. And in that particular situation, very low LTV, looking for a 10-year fixed, and we were able to put that deal together, and we'll keep that deal, you know, in-house
yep.
and satisfy the customer's needs. Now, we can't do that on, you know,
right.
100 LTV.
Right.
That's not who we are. But, you know, if you're in a situation where you really think that's important, then – now's the time to fire at it, and we'll give it a go.
And really, that's personal banking.
Yes.
You know, you just don't get that today.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah, that's right.
Try that at BOA.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck.
See how long the conversation
lasts.
Well,
you walk through the door and say, I want a mortgage loan. They said, here's your card with 800 number on it.
I'll say this. In the last 30 days, and I'm not going to pick on BOA.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
Let's say Wells Fargo and BOA. No, I'm just kidding. So, I had two situations in the last 30 days. Both were first-time home buyers. Both went to
big box
lenders.
Let's do it that
maybe
way.
Maybe we had previously spoke of. And their real estate agent said, you know, why don't you go talk to JD and you know, let's get a quote-unquote second opinion kind of thing. And both of them said, you know, because I always ask, I say, you know, why are you here?
Right. Yep.
And both of them said, you know, the guy I was dealing with at the big box, I just didn't get the feeling he really knew what he was doing.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And I said,
and
well,
didn't, by the way.
I said, you're a smart person. He doesn't. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and it's true, but, you know, the reason is, you know, we say this all the time, you know, this is not Burger King, have it your way,
right.
And that's the way it is there. You know, they're just, all they're doing is just filling in blanks and checking boxes. You know,
well, and the thing that they miss a lot of times, and customers don't know to ask the questions because, you know, you don't get a mortgage every other month. We make bunches of them, is am I in the right program? That should be your number one most important focus.
That's where you should start. That's right.
Am I in the right program? Because being in the wrong program is going to cost you money.
And explaining the pros and cons.
It may look like a better deal, but it long term, it may not be. We had a deal this week that
this
we
is
were
a great
working
deal.
On.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it came down the pipe, and So it started down a path, and then, you know, I got a hold of it, and I was looking at it. I was like, no, no, this is the wrong way to go here. And it was going to be, you know, the focus that the customer had was how quickly can I get out of my MI? And so that immediately shut out the FHA loan,
right?
Because the FHA loan, unless you put a bunch of money down, it's going to have insurance for forever. And so they pushed away. But what they missed was on an FHA loan, your rate may be...
It was, in this case, it was a half point better.
The rate was a half point better.
And the PMI was actually about $50 less. Anyway, it ended up being $110 less a month.
No kidding.
Sure.
With only a half percent more. They went from a 97 to a 96.5. But also with that half point better in rate, we could give them a $1,000 lender credit, okay? So it's $1,000
better. And pay $1,000 at a fee.
It's $110 better a month for, you know, and you know, listen. Permanent PMI on the FHA,
that, yeah.
On a 97, it's going to take you, what, 12 years or something?
It's between, generally it's between 10 and 12 years because, you know, remember it goes off of the value at the time that you bought. And so, you know, you say to the bar, look, you can save $150 a month right now, okay? And it is true that sometime in the next 11 years, you're going to want a refi. And I would tell you, based on what the market's doing, 3 or 4 years from now, you could pay a half point more in rate, get rid of it, and, you know, I can't predict the future, but I'm just saying, here's what I see. And so program mattered more.
Right.
But in this particular person's mind, they were all focused on, I got to get it out of this MI.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can, but it'll be 3 years later when you refi, and it'll be a much better deal than what you have on the
commission. I don't know what 110 or 120 a month times 120 months is. Yeah.
Come on, JD.
But it's a lot. Okay?
It means something.
14,000 or something. I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's crazy. So, well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, we'd love to hear from you today. You're listening to House Plans, Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark here with the buyer's broker. The phone number is 866-442-7553. Text line is open as well. We had a great text question already kicked off today at 71307. So
yeah, and so I said we had a little good news on the rate side. I guess everybody's probably a little worried about the turbulence in the stock market, talking about looking like a skate park, up and down and up and down,
yeah.
And up and down all over the place, zigging and zagging, all kinds of crazy stuff. And you know, one of the things that that's done is it's made people a little fearful. They've moved into the Treasury market and the mortgage-backed security market. And, of course, JD, we've got
We looked at rates yesterday, and even I was shocked.
Right, really?
Yeah. We'll have to talk
down
about
again?
That. Down, yeah. Down.
Yeah. Back to summertime levels.
Yes.
30-year fixed.
Wow.
In the...
Low to mid-fours in some
low
situations.
Low to mid-fours.
Yeah.
10-year under four.
Under four.
15-year just slightly at four or above, depending on the situation.
Yeah,
but
good.
It's solid all the way around rate-wise. And then, of course, you know, being in this particular market, the new conforming loan limits, so for 2019, the conforming limit has gone from, 453.1 up to 484.350.
What about jumbo?
Jumbo is now
484.350 or higher, 51 or higher.
But yeah. What about the rates on jumbo?
Oh, still solid.
Still solid, yeah, still
little
solid.
A little bit in the five, would you say five and eight?
Probably getting the fours.
Really?
High fours, yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to hop over to Pablo. We only got 2 minutes before the bottom of the hour, but let's see what he's got to say. Pablo, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing? Morning, guys.
Good morning.
I've been listening to your radio station. I just got out of work and had a quick question.
Sure.
I'm new to the Carolinas. I recently moved here about a couple of years ago. Me and my wife, we just bought a house, and we have rental property up north, and I'd like to start doing it here. Just kind of curious, are there any programs, anything different than what I would expect to see up north? I mean, I kind of is 20% down the norm, or is there something we can do where I don't have to put down as much?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's a great question, Pablo. Did you have a follow-up question besides the amount to put down or anything? Just trying to talk about investor different products,
yeah,
and terms.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to hang up, and we are heading into a hard break here in about 20 seconds. So why don't we put some things together? I've got some great information to share with you, and we'll hit that on the other side of the break. That way I don't have to rush to an answer. So we appreciate the call, my man.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. You're listening to House Plans, J.D. and Chris from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. When we get back, we're going to answer Pablo's question about rental property programs. That's a great question. They have actually expanded here in the last month or so, some good information there. So we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. We appreciate you listening. You can reach us on the text line at 71307. That's 71307. Or you can call in 866-442-7553. We'd love to talk to you. And we had a question that we got at the bottom of the hour, and we had to go to that break, but it was about what do you do when it comes to investor
programs?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We know a lot of folks are out there looking for investment properties. And so the first part of that question, JD, was what about down payment?
Yep.
And you can put as little down as
15%, actually.
Really?
You can do that. Now, you're going to have PMI that's going to be
added.
Have
some mortgage insurance.
You're going to have a little increase in your rate as well. So, you know, like we were talking about on 30-year fixed primary residence, you can now get in the low to mid fours if everything's right. On investment property, if you're going 15% down, you better have a really solid credit score. But you're also going to take a hit. You're going to be in the fives on that program.
Yeah, and you're acting like the fives are.
I mean, you're going to be. It's usury. But you're going to have a little PMI on top of that. Yeah, so, you know, just something to think about. It's going to be a higher rate. Now, if you put 20% down, obviously that gets rid of that PMI.
Yep.
Number one. Number two, the rate's going to be a little better. But that sweet spot really for investment property is that 75% loan to value.
So putting that 25% down
will save you about 3/8 in rate from the 80% mark. So
wow.
It's a big jump. Yeah. At least a quarter and sometimes 3/8 depending on, you know, how it matches up. But
now, because we didn't keep him on the phone, one of the other questions that we always get asked that I think we need to hit on is what about the number? How many can I have? How many will Fannie and Freddie do? So let's say I got pounds of cash.
Well, if you have pounds of cash, you can buy as much as you want.
Well, but let's talk about financing.
Finance properties, yes. Maximum of 10 finance properties, and that includes your primary residence. So,
yes.
Just something to think about. There are some investor overlays when, you know, we're going to probably sell most of those on the secondary market. And there are some investor overlays, like one of our investors will only take three. Yeah, that's the max they want.
So while you can have 10, if you do the first three with them, they're out.
Yeah, they're out.
So now you got to go pick. And the good news is we have multiple investors, so we can move that around. But you need to be sure that you can cash flow all those properties.
Yep. You can't just count rental income from day one in some situations.
Right.
So,
it depends on do you have a history of rental income.
Right. That's right. And, I mean, one of Keith's, favorite and biggest clients, you know, got into the rental game. This has probably been 8 years ago now, or I don't know how long ago it was, but he bought quite a few properties, you know, around Greenville and that kind of thing and did really well at it and is still doing pretty well. I think he may have sold a couple of them off. But we started bumping up on that 10 mark and trying to, you know, move them around and do some different things, you know. So it's just, you know, it's just something to think about, you know, in that regard. And he actually got pretty creative with he had a pretty sizable retirement account and was able to actually purchase some of the investment properties using his own money by leveraging his account. Yeah. And so those actually did not count as finance properties, which kind of helped us out because basically it was his own money.
Yeah. So he went and borrowed money against his retirement plan, paid cash for them, essentially. And then because they did not have mortgages or liens, they didn't count. But after he had been doing it for a year, you got to count the income.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that can be a really solid way to do it to allow you to build the portfolio. One of the other things you can do is if you amass a lot of them and, let me hit this first. One of the other questions I know you're going to get, JD, is can I put them in an LLC?
Yeah, and, you know, when you sign the note and security agreement at close, you know, we make individuals – loans. We do not make LLCs loans as far as a Fannie and Freddie type product. How you hold title needs to be individually or jointly owned at close. Now, there are people that transfer that ownership over to an LLC, you know, after closing. Just know that the note and security agreement that you sign forbids you from doing that. Now, I've never seen anybody have the note called, right, especially when they were up to date. Right. I don't think, you know, there's not many lenders out there that are around there doing title searches, figuring out who's done what. But technically, yeah, you cannot do that. So just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and then one of the other things you can do if you are trying to acquire more is there are certain situations where you can pull all the properties, especially if they're in an area. So I remember we had a client, this has been 15 years ago, that was up in Clemson. And so he bought a street. And basically it was a street full of duplexes, and they were just one beside the other beside the other. And I think he had eight of them. And, you know, he was up against that max. Yep. And so he came to the bank and he said, listen, let me ask you a question. Can I put all those in an LLC because they're all right there together and get one big commercial loan on that? And, of course, because it cash flowed like crazy, we were able to put that together, referred it to a bank, and were able to put all those loans together. And, of course, now that freed him up to go buy eight more somewhere else because that didn't even count now because it's a commercial loan.
But typically those terms would not be as attractive.
No. They
was going to have a balloon on it, you know, 3 or 5
short-term
years
money
maybe
versus
or something.
Short-term money, higher rate,
right,
going to have a balloon. But if
might
you a solution,
it,
yeah.
But then JD and I, you know, when we first started First Palmetto before we became County Bank in 2001, we met a retired Duke Power guy that Keith, he had over the years had acquired 312 properties.
Wow.
And so that was his job.
Wow.
I mean, one is a job.
Yeah.
You might call 312 a career.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
But that was what he decided to do when he retired, and he started buying these properties, and he was focused on, you know, 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, mostly in Mill Hill-type communities. That was what he wanted to do. But he would buy them up and down all over
the
place. He'd
flip some, rent some, you know, contract for deed some. I mean, he had a little bit of everything, but – you know, he had, two or three people working with
yes.
him, you know.
And he actually used what they call a self-directed IRA to borrow that money. And so he was his own lender, in fact,
right.
You know, and you have to do it through a trust, and it's very complicated. Not anything that we do, but there are self-directed IRAs that will let you do that. And, of course, because it's in an IRA, I'm not an accountant, it allowed you to defer the capital gains you would make on those real estate
I'll
properties.
Never forget meeting him at Stack's Original for lunch over there.
and him telling us,
you know, and I'm sure our eyes were as big as saucers when he was telling us about how many rental properties he had and that kind of thing.
I was like, are you out of your mind?
I know.
Got one, and it's driving me crazy.
Exactly. So
yeah. I know a guy who has 1,000.
Really?
Locally.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
That's
Is
a
his
lot.
Name Keith Clark?
No, Keith did what we did.
It's a local guy
sold it all.
Who cashed out. You know,
yeah.
Cashed out of his business, and he just dumped it all into, I wouldn't say, well, they're not all mill properties.
No. Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
Smaller bread and butter properties.
Yeah. I mean, a three-bedroom, two-bath ranch. That probably right now, rents for $1,400.
Yep.
I mean, which is kind of crazy.
I'll say this. As many opportunities have come across me and Chris's desk that we have passed on.
I can count them too, brother.
The only thing we didn't have back then was enough money to go around.
Yeah. I've always been scared. I'm scared.
Oh, well, I am too. I'm scared
but
to death of making a mistake.
Six that would have changed my life.
Well, it's kind of like you said, Keith, you got to buy when they're selling and sell when they're buying. And you know, to do that, you got to have cash. And I'll never forget, we have been in business maybe 6 months. Okay, so we both work for Wells. We got out of Wells. Now we got our new thing. We barely can spell mortgage.
Right.
But we're rocking along. And JD had a friend at the Citadel whose mom called and said, hey, I got the best deal in the world. I got two deep water lots on Daniel Island for $75,000 apiece. Mm. And you know what JD and I said? Who in the world would pay $75,000 for a lot?
And now they're $775,000.
Yes. You know what? We would have never held out there. We would have sold them for $100,000. I mean,
we'd have never made the big bucks.
No, we wouldn't have. That's for sure.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. You're listening to House Plans. JD, Chris, and Keith here with, Keith, are you County Bank Mortgage? Or no, you're the buyer's broker.
I'm a partner at County Bank.
That's right. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the buyer's broker. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back after this. If you've got a question or comment, 866-442-7553. Text line is open as well at 71307. We'll be back after this talking a little real estate here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Bar Hoppers Tour of America. And we're not talking about the attorneys.
Well, JD, we talked earlier. We said, hey, first show of the new year. Good news out there. One of the things we want to make sure everybody knows is that rates are down and solid. If you were thinking about refining and decided to sit on the sidelines, you may want to think about getting in the game.
Yeah, I mean, 1.9 will not be around forever, right?
Yeah, that's right. But we would highly encourage you to hop in, call, get a quote. Doesn't cost anything to look. So we have free test drives.
Yeah, and actually there's two, I would tell you there's two hot spots that our listeners need to understand. Number one, prime has continued to go up, went up another quarter. We're at, 5.5 now for prime rate. All right. If you have an equity line, you're paying at least 5.5, okay, and 95% of the people out there. You can get fixed rates at a point less than that now.
Yep.
And in many situations, combine that. Even if you have that 4% 30-year fixed, you may want to consider combining that equity line, if it's large enough, with your 30-year fixed. Even if you give up about a half or three quarters and do that 20-year or 15-year fixed, now's a good time to do that. Number two, if you bought a house in the last 5 years and you have an FHA loan, it'd be a great opportunity. Yeah,
PMI.
Get rid of that PMI. That's exactly
right. Get rid of it.
Yep.
Well, property values have gone up.
Yep.
Mortgage rates have gone down. Now would be the best time to hit the eject on the PMI.
Yes, and those deserve at least a look. And, of course, we can do that. You can always just give us a ring at 331-HOME during the week. Or just shoot us a copy of your mortgage statement and tell us you want to maybe consider – you know, paying off your or combining your mortgage and your equity line or getting rid of your PMI on an FHA loan. And you can do that very easily by just sending us or emailing us a copy. You can send that to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. So, well, listen, we got another caller on the line. We've got Ann in Greenville. I think she wants to talk about Keith's favorite thing, taxes.
Mm.
Hey, Ann, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Fantastic.
Okay, good. Listen, I have a question concerning homesteaders, I guess, property tax.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
When you I've just turned 65, and I did apply for that homesteaders property tax, which would cut my property taxes in half.
Yeah.
So, and I was wanting to know, would that affect the value of my property going down?
Yeah, the short answer to that is absolutely not. You know, we have gotten that question over the years. Does two-part question, do the amount of taxes I pay have anything to do with the value of my property?
Right, that's right.
And then the second question we get is, does the assessed value of my property have anything to do with the value of my property?
Right.
And in both cases, the answer is no.
Completely different things.
Yeah, so what the county assesses your property at and the amount of taxes that you pay have nothing to do with the value or what you could sell the property for. And I'll give one on top of that that people don't get. The appraisal I get when I do your refi has nothing to do with what you could sell your house for. What that tells you is what the houses similar to yours, close to yours, sold for, not what you can sell yours for.
And those are three different entities.
Absolutely.
A government entity.
Yes.
A data-driven appraisal is a different, and then fair market value is the marketplace. So all three areas are going to have different formulas, different approaches, and different data to value. And most of the time when we're doing due diligence on a property in preparation for making an offer, we look at all that data. It's important. But the tax assessor's data is actually the least important. So fair market value and appraisals are very important when you're buying or selling. And the government entity has nothing to do with that.
Yep. Oh, okay.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the homestead.
Hey,
you
congratulations.
Earned it.
Yeah, that's right. On getting the lower tax bill.
Yep. You deserve it.
All right.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks
we
for
appreciate
calling.
The call.
We appreciate
you pay, you pay taxes all those years, a lot of them.
Yes.
And, you know, I've said many times, look, you think you own your property? But you stop paying taxes, see who owns it.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right. Well, I think it's you know, it's important, too, to remind everybody where we're talking about property taxes that when you do get your tax bill, one of the things that we offer at County Bank is that we'll be happy to review it to make sure that you have the 4% tax rate on your primary residence. Because don't forget, you must apply for it. If you make any change to the deed, it will revert back to 6%. And if you are welcome to the area and used to a place like Chicago or New York,
New Jersey,
where you have high property taxes, you may not you know, realize that your taxes are too high. And we find it year after year after year. So what we do at County Bank is if you'll email your tax bill to AskJD at County Bank Mortgage, or if you'll just shoot him the address and your name, we can look. You know, now this only applies to the you know, the primary residence, but you know, we can look at it. And one thing that we forgot to mention to Pablo when he called is, listen, if you are going to buy a property down here and you're doing your cash flow, make sure when you look online at the tax bill that that tax bill
is 6%.
At 6%, because the tax bill, if it is a primary now and you buy it as an investment, it's going to triple.
Yeah, that's right.
Not
more than triple, actually.
It will more than triple. So you need to be prepared for that. And we often get we get complaints on our show from, you know, out-of-state investors saying, good Lord, this is not a good deal for investors in South Carolina. And you're right, but it is what it is.
Yep. And you should use, if you're calculating taxes on a purchase, you use $600 to $800 per 100,000
for
on a primary.
Primary.
Yes. But if you're doing an investor, then you should calculate
$1,500?
Yes, at least.
Yeah.
$1,500
per
100,000.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. We had, you know, Chris, we probably had
2,000.
Yeah, maybe a dozen calls this year.
Yes.
In relation to the property tax question. Just, hey, let's check them out. And I think I found one that was
still at six.
Well, what had happened was it was a married couple. The husband bought the property. Yep, had it in his name, added his wife to the deed, and then
and the county goes ka-ching.
Yeah, six. We're going to collect that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you for shopping. Yep. Well, the other thing is, I had a guy call me, and you know, he decided that he was going to go ahead and get it changed to the four, but he waited too long, and the tax bill had already come out at six. So, you know, here's the challenge that you run into when that happens, if you're escrowing especially. You know, SunTrust or BB&T or County Bank or anybody is going to go ahead and send that tax bill. If it's $3,000 and only supposed to be a grand, they're going to go ahead and send three.
Yep.
But here's the thing. They've only been collecting as if it was $1,000
you know,
from the time they set up.
So
the
now you got an escrow shortage.
So now you got an escrow shortage. So now they're going to raise your payment up and collect the past and raise it up to what they think it should be. So then you got to get your escrow account straightened out, which I can tell you, you'd rather wrestle a bear than get your escrow account straightened out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's bad. It's bad.
And we're not talking about a black bear. We're talking about a grizzly bear.
I'm talking
bear.
About a grizzly bear in a squared ring. Yeah, cage match. I mean, the whole deal. Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, JD, don't let it happen.
Yeah, JD, when we started the show, we said, you know, that we had some good news. And, you know, we talked a little bit about rates. Rates are great, moving in the right direction.
Nice to see
for
them
us.
Drop, yes.
Yeah, it is. And one of the other things was loan amount. So why is that important? Because now you have more loans in our area that will fit in the conforming box.
Keith, I want you to listen to this. Now, this is your neck of the woods.
The go ahead.
No, I was going to say conforming limit now 484,350
as it should be.
Yeah. So all those listen, all those $510,000 houses that people are buying out there, you only have to put 5% down now.
Yeah.
On that rather than 10. Or, yeah. You know, that's just an example, but you can, yeah, $510,000, you can do a conforming loan, 95% is 484. So that's good news.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, it does impact the limits for other loans. Now, VA has announced that they're going to go to the 484,350, which is nice for a traditional, but actually on a VA loan, the 484,350 is just the loan amount where you can get 100%. You can actually do a VA loan up to as much as you want, but you have to start putting money down. I mean, JD recently closed $1 million VA
really?
Loan.
Yeah.
And the final LTV on it was what, JD?
I think we ended up doing about 89%, 89 to 91. I can't remember.
Now, you think
exactly.
about that. You get $1 million loan at 90 LTV with no monthly mortgage insurance, and if you're a disabled veteran, no funding fee.
Yeah, no funding fee.
And you get a VA rate.
That's the sweetest deal.
Now, you're talking about touching all the bases. That's touching all the bases. So, JD, it didn't impact USDA either because USDA is income-driven,
yep.
not loan amount-driven.
That's correct. There is a maximum based on what your income is, but it depends on the rate and
yep.
everything else.
And then FHA, what was the impact there?
And actually, FHA, something I learned here in the last month or so that I never realized just the way it worked. FHA converted their amount. It's always 65% of whatever the conforming loan limit is. So if it's 484,350, multiply that by 65%, and I think my math's right, is 314 or 315, Keith. So now the FHA loan limit is up above 300,000, which is huge. That's nice.
Yeah.
So.
Now, Keith, we got one more question for you. It's a tax question. We got about a minute and a half left. This texter says, I purchased a second home in 2010 for $77,000, sold it in 2018 for $110,000. I put about $10,000 in improvements, sewer, fence, roof, deck replacement. How does the capital gain work? Does the money I spent on the improvements get deducted from the capital gains? And so the quick question,
the short answer
is it changes your basis.
That's right.
From $77,000 to the $87,000.
That's right. And selling costs, all fixing up costs, all selling costs.
Realtor fees
yep,
or whatever.
All that is added into the basis.
Yeah, and so what you'll need to do is you'll need to check out that capital gains worksheet and make sure that you have those costs documented so that you can add them back in. So, you know, you possibly could take your basis from the $77,000 up to $80,000 or $85,000.
Was it investor owned? Was the investor or primary?
It was a second home.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you'll want to make sure you do that so that you pay as little capital gains as possible. Right?
10-4.
All right. And if you need any help with that, we know some really good accountants. Well, listen, we appreciate all the listeners out there. If you've got a question outside the show, you can reach us at 331-HOME, or you can shoot us an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll see you next week.